The Jural Assembly Handbook by Anna Von Reitz. Section 44 Illegal Persons and Territorial Courts. As we learned when we first discussed the international jurisdiction of the states, there are no living people in international jurisdiction, only lawful persons on the land and legal persons on the sea. All persons are legal fictions, varying only in the degree of their separation from the actual world and the jurisdiction in which they operate. Directly across the bar from our lawful persons operating on the international jurisdiction of the land, are legal persons operating in the international jurisdiction of the sea. The international jurisdiction of the sea, especially when it overlaps onto the land, is also known as territorial jurisdiction, and the legal persons occupying this jurisdiction may be referred to in some old logbooks as territorials. Legal persons all operate under systems of law known as codes, statutes, and regulations. All transactions and interactions are accomplished by contracts, both public and private. And those legal persons engaged in carrying on business in the international jurisdiction of the sea act as employees of corporations or officials representing corporations and/or the various governments chartering the corporations. This particular jurisdiction has long been the realm of the British monarchs, who have policed and dominated it for centuries. It should not surprise us, then, that a majority of those connected to this jurisdiction follow British nomenclature and traditions, one of which is the tradition of holding offices as trusts. A trust requires a donor, a holder, or trustee, and a beneficiary. In the British system of things, the Queen acts as the donor, the recipient of her office or commission acts as the holder/trustee, and at the end of the day, the office or commission granted returns to the Queen, her heirs or successors. The office holder in such a grantor system receives a title, a label designating exactly what their rank and responsibility is. This is again a reference to the office being held as a trust, where the office holder holds the liability and duty, the legal title, and the Queen holds the benefit, the equitable title. The title Mr. indicates that the person being addressed is a warrant officer in the British Merchant Marine Service. It may also be applied to a midshipman in the Queen's Navy. So this one title, Mr., can refer to someone engaged in international trade, or to a junior officer in the Navy, depending on the context in which it is used. The use of this term to address any man of legal age has become commonplace in this country, though obviously, it should not be. Misapplying it to average Americans creates the basis for legal presumptions that are inappropriate and disadvantageous to those Americans who appear to accept the title of Mr. or Mrs., a Mr.'s wife, or Miss, a Mr.'s spinster daughter. The title Esquire indicates that the person being addressed is working as a squire, the lowest rank of the British nobility, from which they can aspire to become a knight, a lord, or even higher dignitary. Each and every one of these titles and offices is a separate legal person, quite apart from the legal person bearing the title. These titles are foreign to America and Americans, however, because we contracted to receive certain stipulated services from the British government, they have gradually insinuated themselves upon our shores. Make no mistake, however, that clueless as Americans may be, our British counterparts are fully aware that when they call you Mr. or Mrs. or Miss, they are attaching a title to you, and along with the title go the responsibilities and duties associated with it, all owed to the Queen. By using these titles to address you, they are establishing the contractual basis of prosecuting you under maritime or admiralty law. If you call someone Mr. and he answers to it, that is probable cause to assume that he is operating in a capacity subject to the Queen. The most egregious example of this occurs when millions of Americans fill out 1,040 forms and claim under penalty of perjury that they are acting as withholding agents, that is, as warrant officers in the British Merchant Marine Service. These innocent people have no idea what a withholding agent is, much less the jurisdiction in which a withholding agent functions, but they have mistakenly acted as a legal person working as an unpaid volunteer of a foreign, British, government, which then obligates them to perform according to the standards of the job. Our forefathers were not as ignorant as we are today and saw the manner in which this application of titles to living people could be misused, and how the benefits and privileges of some titles, such as Esquire, could become the basis for conflict of interest and split loyalties. So they banned their use on our shores, but could not ban their use in the international jurisdiction of the sea. What does all this mean for us as members of American state jural assemblies? First and foremost, it means that we must be able to distinguish the difference between our courts and their courts, their law and our law, their officers and our officials, their titles and our public offices. We do not use a class system, nor do we grant or use titles. Esquires are not allowed in our courts. Our courts function on self-representation aided by lawful counsel. This means that our lawyers do not speak for us. We speak for ourselves with their assistance and guidance with respect to such issues as prior case law and standards of evidence. In our courts, the only time that a lawyer is allowed to speak for anyone is when the public prosecutor presents a murder case in behalf of the victim, or if someone has been harmed to the point that they cannot physically or mentally present their own case. We do not have petit juries, which use six jurors to decide cases in municipal courts. All our juries require 12 jurors, including grand juries. Likewise, we maintain the effort to establish peerage as much as possible when selecting jury panels. Workmen should sit in judgment of workmen, and academics should sit in judgment of academics, and so on, so as to promote a fair and insightful outcome. We do not have bailiffs, we have bondsmen. Our justices do not swear any oath. They accept their elected public office as a public trust owed to the people of their state in front of witnesses, but there is no talk of swearing, prohibited by the Bible-based land law, and no statements such as "So help me, God" appear in soil or land jurisdiction courts.